the man-child, well, the woman, Satan, the man-child, Michael, the archangel, and the Jewish remnant that flee into the wilderness. Later we'll have the two beasts in the 13th chapter. There appeared a great wonder. Now in the marginal, this is a sign. And we're to understand this woman. Now, like the woman of chapter 17, I'm sure you realize that there's not going to be just an ordinary sized woman riding on the back of a horrible animal with 7 heads and 10 horns. I'm sure you know that, don't you? And when you get to Revelation 19, you read of the Bride of the Lamb. I'm sure you know that you're not going to meet just a woman 5'4" and dressed in beautiful garments. If you want to see the Bride, the Lamb's wife, she isn't really described in 19. Read 21. I'll show you the Bride, the Lamb's wife, and he showed me that holy Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her husband. And so when you read about this woman, I'm sure you realize that there isn't just a woman in heaven that is about to become a mother. You're reading of something far different. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and up on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. I'm going to call your attention to something that is very interesting. The second, if you have a Scofield Bible, the second paragraph ends like this: the book is therefore a prophecy. Now that's clear and positive, isn't it? In the 12th chapter, and heading at the 5th verse, he says, the child Christ. In other words, it's a contradiction. Christ had been born many, many years before this took place. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail tailed to the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now this is this picture. The woman, it is amazing. People have said she was Israel bringing forth Christ. I believe the Catholic Church says she is Mary, and we do not feel that any of this would fill the bill. The demon standing before, the devil standing before the woman to devour the child as soon as it was born, was of course Herod, sending forth to kill Christ. Now when I say of course, I say it from the viewpoint of the way they're teaching it. Now let me tell you how that can't stand up. The wise men came to Jerusalem. How long it took them to get there, I have no way of knowing. They came from the east. Who they were, we have no way of knowing. They certainly were not kings. If there were 3 of them, we can't prove it. They certainly weren't kings. We 3 kings of Orient are. That's beautiful music, but the words can't be proven. And they come to Herod. Where is he that is, or they come to Jerusalem. Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? All Jerusalem was stirred, and they asked the leaders. They say in Bethlehem. So they start to Bethlehem, and the star comes and leads them. Then they get a direction from God not to go back to Herod, but to go another way. And Herod, when he saw that he mocked to the wise men, now notice what is said. Notice the language exactly. Sent forth and slew all the male children in Bethlehem from 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Christ was probably, from that verse, between 1 year and 2 years old when the wise men came, and they came to a house. They didn't come to the manger like the shepherds did. So Rome and Herod were caught flat-footed. They didn't know Jesus had been born. They weren't standing there to kill the child as soon as he was born. So much for that. You will hear that in the course of your life, and you will read it in commentaries and what have you if you read them. But let us think of this sign woman as a great body of people, as representing the people of God in heaven and in earth. Notice this in Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. All the family of God isn't in the earth, neither is all the family of God in heaven. And let's think of all the people of God united with God in prayer and in travail prayer in regards to the deliverance of this child. We'll dwell on who he is just a little bit later. The various garments that are here speak of the various groups of people. She's clothed with the sun. The believers will be raised. There will be one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. And star differs from star in glory. And I'm quoting 1 Corinthians 15:41. The moon, the bride is said to be as fair as the sun, clear as the moon, and as terrible as an army with banners. Upon her head, a crown of 12 stars, perhaps indicating Israelites in the picture. You see, all of the first of the church were Israelite. You all know that, don't you? And you remember that when Joseph had a dream, he dreamed that the sun and the moon and 11 stars came and bowed to him. His father immediately understood, and so did his brothers, that he meant his father and his mother and his 11 brothers. And there is this hint, I believe it's in Isaiah 65, about traveling and bringing forth. Isaiah was a great prophet as far as his declarations went. He had some very great things to say. Is it 64 or 65 where he speaks of when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children? Somebody may have to help me out here. 66:7. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. That's a little bit later picture, but the other one, Isaiah just saw the birth of the man-child, seemingly, and then he saw the birth of the nation, delivered of a man-child. I just read to you in verse 7, and we feel that it's the same birth, and it's the people of God holding together. Part of them are seen in heaven, part of them on earth. Seen in heaven in the bringing forth of the child, seen fleeing into the wilderness after the birth of the child. And there appears another wonder in heaven. Now this is the first time the devil is called a dragon. Here a great red dragon. Remember in the 6th chapter we saw a red horse. And in the 17th chapter we'll see a scarlet colored woman. A great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his horn. 10 horns are upon his head, I mean. Now when we get to the 13th chapter, we'll see the counterpart of this in the nations of the earth. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now the woman flees into the wilderness. This is the earthly section, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now there has been an inane, I personally think, now you may disagree with me 1,000 miles, I think the idea is stupid, that this woman is going to flee to Petra. Have you ever heard that? Nearly all the radio preachers preach it. In the 30s, Dr. E.F. Weber was raising money on the radio to buy testaments, to put them in cans and seal them like you seal a can of beans, to take them and store them in the rocks of Petra, the red rock city of ancient Edom, so when the Jews flee to that city, they'll be able to open those cans and get testaments to read. And Petra, it was a marvelous city. It was hewn out of the rock. And check it in your encyclopedia. I checked it just to see what it was like. You can still, it's a tourist attraction to those that go to Palestine. There's a very narrow canyon that leads into it, and they say that just a few men can protect it. But one of the kings of Israel conquered it, and there is some 300 and some acres in this enclosure. That's a very small place to encompass as many people as will flee into the wilderness. But I just wanted to throw that in and let you know that I disagree with it. Some time ago, somebody said, had a question in the fellowship paper, and Hattie Webb answered that doubtless they would flee and cross the Albany Bridge and then go south to Petra. Well, that will be no protection. One well-placed bomb there could destroy everybody there. they're going to be protected by God, and the word translated wilderness here is simply desert. Now the man-child, who is he? We believe so. But let's think about them. In the 7th chapter, the 144,000 are sealed. In the 14th chapter, they're seen in heaven. And the man-child going up to heaven, well, as his mother was a sign, no doubt, that is not really a woman, but a sign. So no doubt the child will be a sign. And what has thrown so many people is that this manly son is said to rule the nations with a rod of iron. But notice this in the 2nd chapter and the 26th verse. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So it's not a statement that will apply to Christ only, but to those that are associated with him. In between somewhere, the 144,000 have to go to heaven. We have believed that they're the wise virgins, because the word virgin is applied to them in the 14th chapter. And it doesn't mean to say that they're all women. The word can be applied to men. And as soon as the child is caught up to heaven, the woman flees into the wilderness, and notice how long she is there, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And notice, she has a place prepared of God, not of the people that populated Petra. The word Petra is Greek for rock. It has a different name in the Old Testament. You can see it in the map on your Bible that shows the southern part of Palestine and down toward the Gulf of Aqaba. And there was war in heaven. This may begin near the beginning of the week. It may begin near the birth of the man-child. We can't pinpoint some things. We can form an opinion and do deductive reasoning and trust God to quicken our judgment. So there was war in heaven. Now you see, people have a strange idea about heaven. They think that heaven, it's just such a bliss place. Well, we're right in the presence of God, no doubt it is, but don't forget several things. As far as we can ascertain, sin began in heaven, and seemingly great havoc was wrought there. When a being can pull astray one third of the angels, he's done a lot of harm and damage. And when he boasts, I'll be like the Most High, as in the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, a lot of damage has been done. And two or three times in Paul's writings, he speaks of the heavenly things as purged with better sacrifices than these, and that he might reconcile all things unto himself, things in heaven and things in the earth. So there were things in heaven to be reconciled, and because it says that, people think it refers to persons. The word translated things there is a neuter word. It doesn't refer to human personalities. Well, I forgot to watch the clock. Or isn't it heaven? And this is future. Michael recognizes the devil as in a place that God gave him. Notice this in Jude, the 9th verse. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Now notice this, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. You get a little comic. It's a little comical sometimes to hear some men talking to the devil. You foul and pestilent spirit, I charge you, I command you. Do you remember that the altar bench at the tabernacle used to have a great big split down it? Is it still there? Do you know what happened? Brother Copley said a man was seeking the Holy Spirit and hit it with his fist. And he said, split the bench. He said, I suppose he thought he could beat the Holy Ghost out of the altar. Well, some people seemingly think by their loud voice. I called on a fellow to pray once, and he prayed so loud that I got embarrassed. He didn't pray, he literally yelled. Well, we all get loud sometime. This fellow did it all the time that I speak of. But you don't scare the devil with loud voice. It has to be in the name of Jesus. And Michael fights against him at this time. It isn't after the order of, what is that great poet of England that wrote Paradise Lost? John Milton. It isn't after the order that he points it. He has Satan set up as triumphant, or rather militant in hell. Satan isn't in hell. somebody said from the pulpit over our convention about a certain doctrine just out of the bottomless pits of hell. And I made a statement later from the pulpit. I'd like to correct a little statement. I hear it through the years. The devil isn't in hell, and he can't get in hell, and he has to be given a key to release the demons from it. It may sound awful, but the doctrine probably came from heaven, the lower heavens. Not from God, but from Satan. Satan isn't in hell. He will be cast, we hope it is shortly. Again, we can't state with dogmatism, but there's going to be war. And we feel that this will be a fight. Now you can bring up the question, how do angels fight? They don't have flesh and blood as you have, so they can't fight with guns or swords, can they? Let's say, possibly, you know what a forensic battle is? That's where two lawyers fight before a judge. And perhaps everything that Satan has ever done will be brought against him. He will have drawn a third of the angels away with him. He's ruining the human race. Every reason will be brought against him, and he will be cast out. He prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now that's an opinion. If you think they're going to fight with their fists, well, what will they hit? There's no physical being there to hit. The great dragon was cast out, and for the first time we have all of his titles given to him, these four, I mean, in Revelation, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, the dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan. Now notice this, which deceiveth the whole world. And isn't this true? Deceiveth the whole world. Look at our nation. Look at the other nations of the world. Are the rulers Christians? How many would you judge? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying, now we'll see in just a moment that this loud voice is the voice of saints. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ. Now notice this, the accuser of our brethren is cast down. That proves it's the voice of saints. Being like somebody would be tormenting you and some other saints would be, oh, thank God they got the victory. He accused them before our God day and night. Do you remember how the devil accused Job? The Lord said, now I quote from our version, hast thou considered, the margin says, have you set your heart on? My servant Job, there is none like him in all the earth. He escheweth evil and doeth good. And the devil said, put forth your hand and touch him. Does Job serve God for naught? You've paid him well. You've put a hedge about it. You've blessed all the work of his hands. All of these are accusations. Put forth your hand, he'll curse you to your face. The Lord said, all that he has is in your hand. You know what he did. Then he said later, he's in your hand, but spare his life. And devil went out and smote Job with boils from head to foot. But Job never did curse God. Now you can call Job self-righteous and all of that if you want to, but at the beginning and the end of the book of Job, God testifies for him. They overcame him by a route that is open to you. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. He said that the devil accused Martin Luther of many things, and Luther said, it's all true, Satan, now right, cancel by the blood of Jesus. I could take the Bible and condemn myself over and over again. Here I am. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I am not good. I don't seek after God. The Bible says there is none that seeketh after God. I became unprofitable. It's all true. But the blood of Jesus Christ canceled it all. And I'm not self-occupied in the sense that I go around talking about what a weak, terrible creature I am. If I'm self-occupied, I will. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and I testify to what I know. I can say, you can accuse me of many things, and if some of them are true, I could say, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. That's the blood of the Lamb, and my word of testimony is to affirm that fact. They love not their lives unto the death. That's these that they're pointing at this point. Therefore rejoice ye heavens. There's a real, excuse the expression, a picnic in heaven, because the devil was gone. He'd been there too long. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. 3.5 years he will have from the time he's cast out. When the dragon saw that he was cast out, he's not a changed personality. He goes to persecute the woman which brought forth the man-child. Well, we feel that it is the whole family of God in heaven and earth. That's why I read the passage in Ephesians 3:15. Part of the woman is seen in heaven, part is seen on the earth. It's the Jewish remnant that flees into the wilderness, and the part that is in heaven, the glorified saints, those that are clothed with the sun, the moon, and the stars, will be the glorified saints, and they will be standing with God for the deliverance of the 144,000. And we feel that that's who the woman is, and not the children of Abraham, so to speak. All of the family of God isn't in heaven. All of it isn't on earth. This woman is seen both in heaven and seen on earth, and that's why we take it to be not simply the body of Christ, but the part of the people of God that will be on the earth of that time, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We just read that in Ephesians 3. And the part of the church that will be on the earth as a whole will be, the part of God's people that will be on the earth at this stage will be the Jewish remnant. We say the family of God, not the body of Christ. The body of Christ doesn't contain all the people of God. The family of God contains all the people of God. Abraham's seed is among those that are saved of the Old Testament, but spiritually speaking, among those that are saved, or those that are saved, spiritually speaking, of the New Testament. And the earth part of the woman flees into the wilderness. The other part is in heaven. She's a sign woman, not just a woman. It's a great company of people. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. God said, I have brought you on eagle's wings, both in Exodus and Deuteronomy. We have this expression. And just what that will be is a bit conjectural. I've actually known people to liken this to the United States as the great eagle stepping in and flying them into the desert. And you remember the song of the great speckled bird that was so popular during the war? I travel with an evangelist, and the Church of God, the Pentecostal Church of God from Tennessee, take that to themselves. They are the great speckled bird, and this eagle is the great speckled bird. And in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord said, my heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. And they take that. They are that speckled bird. And they all sang that song a lot. And I've heard people apply it to themselves. Well, what the wings of the great eagle will be, it will probably be some sovereign act of God. And she'll fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Like God took Israel into the wilderness or desert. To us, a wilderness is like the great rainforest of South America. The wilderness in the Bible is Eremos, which is simply desert. That's the Greek word. And this place is prepared of God. She will be there 3.5 years. Let's read Isaiah 26:20. This may refer to the same time. It has been my opinion that it does, but we can't. There's some things we can have an opinion, but keep it as an opinion. Isaiah 26:20 says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for the iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Now, I think you can see what time that points to, and what people it will be that will be hidden away in the wilderness. And I've heard it preached that this is the church of God that's going to flee into the wilderness. A woman told me in Weston the other day, of coming to Kansas City to hear a speaker at the Youth for Christ, and he said, of course, the church is going to go through the tribulation. Well, we couldn't go along with that. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. When Israel came out of the land of Egypt, Pharaoh's army followed them, and the sea swallowed them. When Moses' enemies stood against him in the wilderness, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them. One of the most awful statements in the Bible. It says they went alive into the pit. And the word translated pit there is the word which 31 other times is translated hell. They went alive into hell. I've said they got translated by awful statement. Well, the earth, some way, will open its mouth and probably swallow up an army. They will just disappear. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This will be those that will scatter everywhere. I used to wonder if the remnant that flees from Jerusalem in Matthew 24 would be this woman. That was before I had my date straight. They flee into the wilderness at the placing of the abomination, the mountains. When you shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. But you see, that will be right in the middle of the 7 years. That's when the abomination that maketh desolate will be placed. This woman flees into the wilderness 250 days before. Well, he goes to persecute them. Probably they will be in part those that get the victory over the beast in chapter 15.